Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. This is The Woods.
Grr.
The show made by bears for the bear community, their admirers and supporters all around Australia and the world. Brought to you from Melbourne's Joy 94.9 studios. Woof.
Grr.
Good evening, Melbourne. It's The Woods on Joy 94.9. I'm Big Bear Mark, and I'm joined in the studio tonight by Bear Curious Dean. Hello, Dean.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
It's been a couple of weeks. How you been going?
I've been very curious.
You're always curious.
I'm very curious, yes.
We have also work experience, Robbie, pushing the buttons tonight. How you going, Robbie?
Good evening. How are you?
Good to be with you, back with you tonight.
Me too. I'm really excited about tonight because... It's Freaky Bears up late.
It is.
Plus Dean, yes.
And well, that sort of gives it away. Tonight in the studio, we've got the Wonder Cubby himself. It's Luke. How are you going, Luke?
Spoiler alert. I am here.
Spoiler alert.
Back on the Woods.
I know. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been about a year.
It has been about a year.
Wow.
Since my last Woods.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Welcome I know. Cause,
thank you.
Like, remember the... good old days. We started The Woods back here.
Two and a half years ago. Yeah, I know, right?
I know.
We had Jessica Simpson bring me in, so I feel that was very fitting.
Well, we did it for you.
So,
we did it
all
for
the cameras
you.
Come out for this special affair.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
And, of course, tonight we're talking all about video games.
Yes.
Because, of course, your other show on Joy 94.9 is, of course, well, it was... Critical hit.
Yeah.
But what is it now?
We've had a facelift. So
it's about time, too.
It does happen around Joy a fair bit. Did you notice my beard's a different colour? No, it's now Checkpoint. That's our new name. We've been Critical Hit for a couple of years, and we just thought, you know, wanted to change it up, get something new and fresh. There's a few other Critical Hit brands around the world that are quite popular, so we thought, you know what, let's be unique, let's be us, and let's start all over again. So that's what we're doing with Checkpoint.
Rebrand. Uh-huh.
So you've got a new logo, a new... I mean, the time slot's the same, everything else is the same.
Yeah, yeah. So the content's essentially the same and the time slot's the same, so 3 p.m. Saturdays. But we are also doing some exciting things outside of the show as well. We're going to be launching a website in a couple of weeks.
Ooh.
So an entire website full of extra content. So you'll have the show and then you'll have the companion website as well, so you can have all your gaming goods in one place, which is very exciting. So, yeah, we can't wait. We're all really excited about it.
I'm so curious about video games. I know nothing, but if you are listening and you know a lot about video games, or you have a question for Luke about video games or gay representation in video games, or Frogger, if you've got a question about Frogger from the past, or Pac-Man.
God, that's obscure. You can do so by SMSing us 0427JOY949 or emailing us on air at joy.org.au.
Frogger. Do you remember Frogger?
I do remember Frogger. It's before my time, technically, but I think everyone knows Frogger, I think.
You think?
I think so.
What was the first game you played? Do you remember playing?
First game I played, it was actually, I was very lucky. I was an only child, right? So as a young child, I was quite spoilt. And so I actually got an NES, so Nintendo Entertainment System, back when it first sort of, I think I was about 4 years old. So this is back in, I'm going to make some old people upset now, 1991 when I was 4 years old.
So old.
So I got an NES, Nintendo, and so the first game was Mario. Like, just traditional, simple, but yeah, it was the first Mario Brothers game on the Nintendo.
See, mine was classic as well. I used to, this is going back, I used to skip sport at school and go with some friends to the local shopping centre and play Space Invaders. It was actually in the middle of the shopping centre, so it was like, there was like three video games. I think it was Space Invaders, what's that one with the centipede, the Galactica? The old school, anyway.
Like Galaga or something?
Galaga. And there was something else. Pac-Man, I think
and
it was.
And Pac-Man, yeah.
And they were the three, but we played Space Invaders.
I remember my first video game was where we... I think it was like tennis. I think it was like Pong, maybe?
Pong?
It was Pong.
Yeah.
He had like two little bats and they would like... And he'd ping pong the ball between you and you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, pong.
Yeah.
That's how old I am.
You don't look that old, though, Dean.
It's the lighting in here. The lighting's...
I'm yet to hear Dean reference a game past the Atari.
Yeah, exactly. The Atari was it.
That's right. The Commodore Vic 20, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Commodore. Well, I had a Commodore 64.
Yeah,
so.
I knew it.
Old, no, am I older than you?
No, no. I'm older than you.
Oh, yeah.
It's an old contest.
What about you, Robbie? You're young'un. What was your first video game?
Sure. Well, yeah, I think I started with the NES as well.
Yeah.
I remember getting the Super Nintendo. I spent a lot of time on that and the original PlayStation. And then a few years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, went nostalgic and hunted every cash converters in Victoria and got a Super Nintendo again.
Yeah.
And so, they're never quite the same when you go back though, are they?
No, I think the memory sort of lives on, but then you go back and you play things and you go, oh, that looks terrible.
Yeah. The graphics are really... They don't stand the test of time.
No, they don't. Especially with high-def TVs, right? So you need to play them on like a little CRT TV to get the full experience. If you play those old games on like a 42-inch plasma or whatever, it just exposes how terrible they are because they're not built for that resolution. Mm, so you can't even make out characters like Mario Kart. All you see is just like track in front of you and nothing else.
See every giant pixel.
Yeah, it's awful. So yeah, if you're going to go the old school, get the old TV as well. Have the full experience.
I've still got my Commodore 64. I've got it in the shed. It's like I need to pull it out and see if it still works.
Try putting that into your 42-inch or whatever your TV is.
60-inch.
Yeah, try putting in that. It'll be like the worst thing you've ever done. Like,
not that I'm a size queen or anything, but 60-inch.
So do you have a floppy disk to put into it, though?
Yeah, I had a floppy disk and the tape recorder, whole bits. But it was the 12-inch floppy disk, the big ones. And yeah, no, I had everything when I was a kid.
I remember my dad went for an overseas trip, and he came back and he bought us from overseas. Get this, Donkey Kong.
This is
like in grade 3 or something. We were like the king. We ruled the school because we had Donkey Kong.
Is that one of those little Nintendo
handheld little compact almost? You could do your makeup, mate.
Yeah,
no, but you playing.
I had one with an octopus and you had to...
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great.
Oh, the olden days, Mark, the olden days.
I know. These youngsters, I tell you. So back to Checkpoint. So same time, same place, just different name, same faces.
Yeah, exactly. So, same great content you've come to expect, hopefully.
And this week you've got an interesting show coming up.
Yeah, so actually it's our first topic ever. We did Critical Hit nearly 2 years ago was... LGBT representation in gaming, because you know the whole purpose of the show initially was to really highlight things that other gaming publications don't talk about. You know, they don't make a big fuss about LGBT representation, they don't talk about the importance of female characters in gaming and stuff. Like, some touch on it, but not so much. So our main purpose was to really try and highlight these things that people aren't talking about, because you know, we are LGBT and we are different and we are seen as many by different as different people, so we wanted to make sure that we have that voice really clear. So we're going back this Saturday to our first topic and talking about it again, how it's progressed in the last 2 years, LGBT representation, characters and stuff like that, and putting the spotlight back on again, because I think we have to keep on talking about it over and over again.
Well, there is a spotlight on it at the moment, isn't there, because of the release of the new Baldur's Gate game.
Yeah.
And it's, now I'm going to get this wrong, it's Gamergate, it's called?
Well, that's it's linked to that. The Baldur's Gate controversy, it's interesting because this new expansion's come. It's out now, actually, this new expansion. And it's called... I'm trying to think of the name of it now. I'll get back to you on that one. Siege of Dragonspear.
Yep.
And it came out last week. And it's got a trans character in the game. And a lot of people think it's a great thing, of course, because it is a great thing to include all sorts of diverse characters and different sexualities in video games. Unfortunately, though, a lot of people don't see it that way and are quite vocal about that. And they're saying things like having a trans character in there is just those social justice warriors again. They're just shoehorning in a trans character to try and be different. And they're saying it actually isn't helping the game. They're just putting it in there to make a statement and it doesn't mean anything and that it's stupid to include it in the first place. Kind of like just leave our games as they are. They're fine. You don't need to include those things. And so this whole thing about Gamergate, it's this whole conversation around whether or not these characters are justified, and a lot of really horrible people that just think, nah, they shouldn't be in there. Yeah. I don't want trans people in my game. It's not relevant to me, so I don't want it in there.
Mm.
And it's a big problem.
If you've got an opinion on Gatergate, Gamergate. Let us know. 0427 joy949 is the SMS, or online at joy.org.au is the email address. This is The Woods on Joy 94.9.
For all things bear, cub, otter or wolf, and any other woodland creature, The Woods on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. This is the show for bears and the bear community and the bear admirers and those who are bear curious like me.
All of us.
Woodland creatures. So I'm here with Big Bear Mark, work experience cub Robbie, and it's Luke the Wonder Car.
Hey!
Welcome back to The Woods.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
And tonight we're talking about Gamergate and games and video games and critical hits, which is now Checkpoint.
That's right, correct.
Exactly.
Tell me a bit more about Gamergate.
Well, I mean, it's funny because Gamergate, it did happen a couple of years ago, but it's kind of this known term now that's kind of this blanket for all online video game based harassment things that go on.
Right.
It also started, there was one woman who you might know her name, Anita Sarkeesian. She was this known entity online, basically, and long story short, a lot of rumors were spread about her and her involvement. She was a journalist of sorts, and her ex-boyfriend did this massive post about her and her ethics and stuff like that, and she defended herself, rightfully so. And unfortunately, a lot of male gamers online on the internet, where it's, you know, completely safe from your home to attack people, threatened her with abuse, threatened to kill her, sent her death threats, told her they would find her and rape her, like serious horrible things.
Yeah, they slut-shamed her, they did all that, and they're keyboard warriors. And this is what makes me a bit angry. It's like these people can do this in the... in their homes, but under the anonymity of the computer services. But it was definitely a horrible thing to happen.
Yeah, and Gamergate basically was like the hashtag that people would use when they're talking about this whole situation.
Right.
So that became the trend.
Uh-huh.
She should fuck off and die. Hashtag Gamergate. Like it was really, it was really terrible.
It was horrible. Yeah.
It was really bad. And unfortunately, wherever she goes now, after all this controversy, she's subject to death threats and stuff like that.
Is that right?
Yeah, so like shows and media outlets kind of avoid having her near them because they're worried that something might happen to them if they have her on, because it's that serious. People are that volatile against her. It's a really big problem, but while it's horrible for her, it sort of extends to a much larger problem with the way anyone talks to women in the first place. That's unacceptable. But to use people as scapegoats over video games... Like, this is not meant to be this intense, kind of overly political industry, yet things like this happen and you kind of stop and go, hang on a second, I just want to play Mario, dude. Like,
yeah,
how
but
does
it's
it even
not Mario,
get to that?
Is it, Luke?
Well, that's not
it's
Mario.
Like, we're talking about things like Grand Theft Auto, which there's been a lot of controversy about, hasn't there?
Yeah.
About the way it treats women and the way it treats gay people as well.
Well, that's part of the issue is the media does have a tendency to jump on top of things like Grand Theft Auto. It's a very easy mark. It's an easy target. The Grand Theft Auto controversy there happened about a year ago when it was Target took it from the shelves. They said, we're not going to sell this anymore because someone started a petition online saying the game is violent towards women. And it showed screenshots of a guy standing above a corpse of a woman with a club in his hand. And the whole campaign was saying it's violent against women and this is not acceptable behavior and stuff like that. And as much as I do agree it's bad against women, in that game, you can beat anybody to death with a club you like. It's kind of beat to death with a club equality. So you don't... Yes, you can beat a woman to death, but, I mean, if you can beat men to death and not women, doesn't that create a different problem as well?
It may not. See, I always thought it's probably not... The sexist thing shouldn't have been the problem. It should have been the violence in that game.
Yeah, but it was R-rated as well. So you kind of go, well, if it's R-rated...
Why are they selling it in Target anyway?
Well, Target's not the store to sell a game like that anyway.
No.
So... Fair enough, they took it off their shelves, but it did put it in the spotlight, and a lot of people went, how can the game do that to women, you know? And I sort of was sitting back going, it doesn't just do it to women, and a lot of people were jumping on that bandwagon without really understanding what the game was. They just saw those screenshots and went straight to, this is unacceptable behaviour.
And I suppose what we're talking about these days, though, is we're talking about a positive role model in terms of a trans character coming into Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
And we're having this reaction that people are going, not in my game.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're talking about the same sort of demographic. We're talking about the, you know, the young men straight who don't want... this. And yeah. the thing is, you don't even have to interact with this character, I believe. Or
no,
you don't
no.
need to... No?
No, you don't have to interact with them. And even the character itself, it's not like you meet them and they're like, hi, I'm trans, look at me and my genitals. Like, that's not what it's about, you know what I mean? It's a sexuality. It doesn't necessarily mean the character is overtly trans. How do you even be overtly trans? I don't know. But... You know what I mean? It's not
well,
like...
And it's not the first trans character in a game. I mean, I played Dragon's Age Inquisition just a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And it's got. I have to admit, I didn't realise it was a trans character till a little bit into it.
Yeah, you have to really interact with that character to on a pretty out. Deep level to figure that out. And, you know, Dragon Age is a fantastic example of LGBT inclusivity in games because there's characters that you can interact with who will be potentially gay or bisexual. My favourite character in the game is one called the Iron Bull.
Iron Bull, yes, we know this.
Super hot, super hot. And he at one point he's like, do you want to ride the bull? And they're like, yes! But and he's bi. And so it's funny though, because there are other characters in the game that are like one of them is
Dorian.
Or Dorian is gay. So if you're a female character that you're playing as and you hit on Dorian, Dorian will be like, sorry, I'm not interested in that. So it's literally they have these defined sexualities, which is fantastic.
But it's interesting just then you said if you're playing as a female character, so there's this gender fluidity already.
Yeah.
So the user can actually be can identify as whatever character they want in this
Correct.
In this universe.
Yeah, exactly. You can be male or female and you can interact with whoever you want, however you want, really.
And you design your character and you look like how you want and you and that's the whole thing. I mean, you have that freedom to be who you want to be in the game. And you have the freedom to, I mean, if you want a lesbian relationship and you're playing as a male, you can do that too.
Yeah.
There's the whole range of sexuality in that game. I mean, I know I played as a male, but I mean, I hit on this guy in the game and he wasn't interested because he was straight. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's just like real life with a chance. Not that running around killing dragons is like real life, but that sort of sexuality, it's... day to day, and the character wasn't like, oh, how dare you for being gay. It was like, oh no, I don't go that way.
That sounds awful. I don't want to get rejected in my video games, Tom.
Too real.
But then you can go to the character. But then when you do hit on a character that's gay, then that's different.
Oh, good.
You can have some sexy time with
them. I can get myself confident.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's a great example of a game that has that nuance where you don't necessarily see it overtly, you know what I mean? You're not going to be... They're not walking around with a gay pride flag, you know? You have to actually get to know them first and they actually open up to you. So you might not even experience any of that. And you can play the entire game without even having any relationships. You don't have to do that at all. You can play through the entire thing, put hundreds of hours in and not even have a relationship with anybody. And that's fine too, so...
And it's kind of funny. These days I kind of expect there to be that option. It's like that's I think that's become part of the way that the gaming community is going, and it's opening up.
Yeah, I think it's much better to have the option than sort of some games still have the trademark, you know, save the princess type storyline. You know, it's the masculine jock kind of character saving the girl all the time, and like that's fun to play the story, but you know, it's hard to relate to that. You know, as a gay man, especially, it's like, well, I don't really want to save the girl for that reason. You know,
she can be eaten by the alligators. I don't care. You know,
yeah, I like the story, but you know, I don't connect to it so much. Whilst establishing a relationship with a male character in a game, that's something that I kind of connect to and go, well, that's
I want to save the hot cub. I don't want to save.
Exactly.
That's a really interesting point about the connection to story and how you invest in that story and how you represent yourself in that story. Maybe it's something we can explore later. Have we got a song, Robbie?
We sure do.
Oh, fantastic. You're listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Wolf. Grr.
Hey, this is Matt Albert from San Francisco.
Well, then you can find a way to make it out here too.
You're listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9.
And if I can make it to the middle of this tightrope.
You are on Joy 94.9. This is The Woods. Big Bear Mark, Bear Curious Dean, and Week Experience Cub Robbie, joined by the Wonder Cub.
Yay! And Culture Club as well.
And Culture Club.
How exciting is that? They're coming. Great Culture Club are coming.
I know. Danny Minogue's support.
I know.
Why, Danny? Sorry.
Well, she'll turn up to the opening of an envelope, so.
She will.
Not surprising. We're talking about video games tonight.
Yes.
And we have had a message through, guys, so I just wanted to quickly. It was in regards to. They didn't say who they were, but it was in regards to Grand Theft Auto 5. And they basically say the controversy that the inclusion of the PS4 release meant you could kill prostitutes you hire and steal their money.
Yeah.
Now, that's pretty bad.
Well, that's, I mean, yeah, and the person said that's what they thought the controversy was. And fair enough, the media certainly portrayed it that way. But you can do that in the old GTAs on the PlayStation 1 that are like 20 years old.
That's
not a new feature. And so I guess my point was, is these things have always been there, but all of a sudden somebody starts a petition about it and it becomes this massive problem whilst it's been gone through the ratings board as an M-rated release for a long time.
M-rated
back
release.
In the day, yep, for sure.
Wow.
GTA 3 on PlayStation 2 was an M-rated release, Vice City, San Andreas, a whole bunch of them that were. And you can do this in all those games. So that's where it becomes like, well, the media shows it one way that's not necessarily a complete reflection of the reality.
But the inherent misogyny in that, though, in that game, and that in, whether it's a new game or an old game, it just floors me that people would want to invest in a story in their escape moments, in their entertainment, in their recreation, invest in a storyline which treats women in such an appalling manner.
Yeah, it's tough because, again, you can do the same thing to men, but I guess there's no male prostitutes in the game, to be fair. So, I mean, you can say that's not quite a quality if there's no male prostitutes in there. but, you know, you can beat men as well. Whether that is in it of itself in terms of being really violent is not something that you understand. I completely get it. I'm not a fan of GTA myself. I don't see the point in most of those games, going around just killing people and causing trouble. I don't like that. But the game does present consequences when you do those things, like the cops will come after you if you kill somebody. Like, if you beat somebody, the cops will be on you and they will get you and put you in jail and you get a massive penalty. So the game does penalise you for doing the wrong thing and breaking the law. So in one way, you could argue and go, well, it's like real life. You do something wrong, the cops will ping you. And that's something that's sort of there as well. It doesn't make it okay. You know,
I think it also should be said that you know, a lot of us enjoy Law and Order on television. A lot of us watch cop shows on TV. These are all storylines from TV shows, and we enjoy that because it's a glimpse of that world, and it's a step as a character. You're getting into the characters in that world.
Yeah,
games are the same.
Yeah,
I think there's a parallel.
I mean, I don't personally like that type of game either. I mean, when I go for games, it's usually fantasy or space.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get out of reality completely here.
Right.
And that's what I like. I mean, I like my Skyrims. I like my, I'm playing Galaxy, a Civilization type game at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're the games that I like, and I don't understand it myself, but people do.
Can I tried a game once recently. I tried The Elder Scrolls.
Yes.
And I can't do it. Maybe I'm too old. My thumb's not dexterous.
I'm older than you, and I play them occasionally.
I can't do it. It's too hard.
You start with something a bit more basic, I think.
Do you think I need to go
basic?
I
think it's a really hard one to start with. I think you should go back and start with something a bit more linear.
Uh-huh.
That way you're not going to have to worry so much about how to play it. You can just kind of enjoy the experience.
And all these choices about, you know, what size my eyebrows are, and do I have to have my ears this shape, and what weapons do I want, and just, I just want to play a game.
Yeah.
I don't have to think. I think at work. I don't have to think when I'm playing games.
Yeah. And look, I mean, to each their own as well. I mean, my partner likes to go and play role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons and stuff. I can't stand that.
Offline, real world.
Yeah, but you know, but I'll go and play board games, no problem.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's all individual as well.
And what's that thing? LARPing. LARPing? Cosplay LARPing? LARPing. LARPing. What is LARPing?
So LARPing stands for live action role play. So they're people that actually go out wearing actual like homemade armor and swords and pretend they're on quests and run through the street and stuff like that. And actually, it's like Dungeons and Dragons on a tabletop, except you're actually out there doing it in public sort of thing.
Like in the Docklands, like running
possibly,
around.
Possibly, yeah. Depends where the quest takes you, I suppose. Well, but yeah, it's like a more commitment version of D&D.
I don't know if you've ever driven through the park up north. I can't remember what it's called, the big one near the cemetery up in North Melbourne. And you'll see people in their medieval gear.
Oh, is that right?
On weekends.
Yeah. Well, it's like an extension of the old war reenactments, isn't it?
Exactly.
Which people do and get really into, I suppose. It's the same kind of thing. So
cool.
Yeah. But
one thing I do want to talk about is where this is going as well. I want to talk about the future as well.
Yeah.
And virtual reality is a is the big thing this year, isn't it?
It is the year of virtual reality, yes. Massively.
So what have you seen? Because you're in the industry, you know what's happening. What is happening with virtual reality?
Yeah, I mean, I've been lucky enough to have actually tried all the different virtual reality options that are going to be on sale this year.
Because the one I've heard about is... I keep wanting to say Oedipus Rex, but it's... What is it called?
Oculus Rift.
Oculus Rift,
yeah. Right. So the thing with virtual reality... It is what you expect it to be, in the sense that you put this headset on and you look kind of goofy, but you see in front of you this amazing perspective, like you're actually in that world. And you look around, you look to the right, and the screen looks to the right, and you're actually there. And then you, like, you might have a controller and you'll pick up something, and in the game you'll actually pick it up with your hand, and it's like you're in this other world. So in terms of like what's on the box, it actually is that experience that we've all thought about for decades and decades, this idea of virtual reality. It works.
Mm.
And it's really fun. What's interesting is it's not just launching as one virtual reality this year. You know, there's several different options that are going to be on the market. And that's where it gets really tricky, because all of a sudden you have to decide which one is the one you want to go for. And they all have different costs and things associated with them. So it's going to be expensive, is my point. It's going to be really expensive, whichever one you choose, to get it on the ground floor on this. You're looking at like a grand at least.
But is it like the old VHS and Betamax? Which one do I go with?
To a point, yeah. I mean, there's PlayStation's got a really great one on the market coming out later this year, PlayStation VR, which you need a PlayStation 4 to use. So if you don't have one, you're going to have to invest in one of those as well. Oculus, you can actually order now, and they'll send them to you pretty soon. I think they're coming to people. But they're about $1,200 at the moment for Australians, which is a lot of money. And you need a high-end PC to run them. So what I think virtual reality needs is it needs to... be in people's homes. Like, mum and dad need to be able to see this to actually understand what it is and how it works. And I don't know if it's going to be the right price point to actually do that. I think it's going to be too expensive for a lot of people to bother with at this stage. But it's really cool. Like, it's just, it is really cool. It's like everything you expect it to be.
What sort of things have you seen on the virtual reality games?
So I've seen a few. One of them I liked a lot was actually they made this game called Project Earthlight. And actually the guys from NASA helped create the game. So it's literally what space looks like. And so you put the headset on and you're on the outside of a spaceship and you're literally like... crawling around the outside trying to like replace one of the electronic things in the side of the ship. And so you literally got your hands and you've got these controllers and you're like moving your hands and crawling alongside this ship, feeling gravity and stuff. And it's really weird how even though you're not there, you do feel like that gravity pull. It's really strange because it's so intense with the headset on and you got the voices and the ship talking to you, like, you know, you got to be quick, you know, before the something goes off. And then anyway, you get to the point where you plug in the thing or whatever, and then all of a sudden the explosion happens on the ship and you're flung back into space. So you're just floating, no longer connected to the ship anymore, and everyone starts panicking. And it's this really weird, surreal moment where you genuinely feel shocked, like you're floating in space. And it's unreal. It's really clever how it's done, and it feels legit. It's really strange.
Wow.
So experiences like that are going to be things that make people really excited. So it's about getting that out there.
Exactly. Coming up on The Woods, we are going to be talking about how video games affects your relationships. You are on The Woods on Joy 94.9.
Catch up or relive all The Woods has to offer. Listen to The Woods podcast online at joy.org.au or on iTunes or Stitcher. Joy 94.9.
Wow. We've been practicing.
Yeah, right.
We do that every week, sorry.
Things have changed since I left.
You didn't do that? I thought you started it.
Did I?
No. That was after Lucas left. You are on The Woods on Joy 94.9. This is Big Bear Mark. We've got Bear Curious Dean, Work Experience Robbie, and of course with Wonder Cup Luke in the studio.
Yes.
Now, Luke, we want to touch on relationships and...
Yeah, this is one I find very interesting. Because I'll throw it to you, gentlemen, Mark, Luke. Yeah. You both obviously enjoy playing games. Your partners, do they also play games?
Mine doesn't. He dabbles in things with me. Like, if I've got a cooperative game that's a bit on the simple side, so like your Mario's and Donkey Kong's and stuff like that, he'll give it a go with a controller. But he kind of doesn't get into the games that I get into. And also with those games, he gets a bit self-conscious playing them, because I'm obviously, because I play them all the time, pretty good at getting through things without dying and stuff like that. Whilst he'll play and he'll feel like he's kind of letting me down by not playing it as well as I do.
It's more frustrating when you see
and he gets frustrated because he feels like he's, I don't really care. I'm like, oh, we're playing, babe. It's fun. You know, it doesn't matter. But he'll get really frustrated that he feels like he's shit and I'm good at this thing, you know? So there is, it is interesting in that regard. But no, he doesn't play games apart from when I'm around, no.
Yeah, and look, my partner does play the occasional game. Like, we usually don't play games together. Like, they're usual single-player games. Though we did play Guild Wars for a little while together, and we were sort of had a guild in the Guild Wars that we played with some friends from Brisbane. And that was interesting for a while. I mean, you know, it wasn't bad.
The thing that I find interesting about it, and I think probably the number one thing that holds me back from playing games, because I've gotten into them, I enjoy them in the past, but they're very time consuming. And when I'm at home with my partner, I want to do something with my partner. I want to watch TV with my partner, and maybe that's just because we're so in love and so romantic. But I'm picturing in my head, you know, one person in one room playing a game and one person in another room playing a game. And it's a foreign concept.
Yeah, and I think it depends how you manage it. I think you can still be together with people in the same room and still hanging out, but one of you's playing a video game. I think that is possible. I know a lot of the time when I've got a review to do for the show, I've got to put a lot of time into a game in a very short period. So I'll say, hey, babe, is it okay if I play this game for a bit? Do you mind? He's like, no, it's fine, babe. Play your game. And then I'll play the game, but I won't have a headset. I'll be playing it in the lounge room. He'll sit there with his iPad, and he'll sit there and play some stuff on his iPad or browse the internet, and we'll still talk. So we'll talk about the day and lives and have a chat and stuff, and he'll look at the game and go, oh, what's that do? Well, that's kind of cool. And I'll be like, oh, watch this, babe. This is really awesome. Watch how I kill this guy or whatever. Yeah. So it's kind of, even though we're not doing the exact same thing, we're still in the same space enjoying each other's company. And I think that is a healthy way of dealing with it. I've had relationships in the past. Hi, James. Where James knows. James is cool with it. Where you have one person go up to a different room and the other person playing video games, and it is quite separate. And that's where it creates a bit of hostility, because why are you playing games and not up here in the room with me? Why are you down there doing that? And that's where it becomes a problem.
And there are phrases like wow widows, and you know, there are terms that people do lose themselves in these games, and WoW is one of those games where you will lose yourself. I mean, I remember once when I first started playing Skyrim, my partner left for work one morning and I had the day off. He came back and I was still sitting exactly where he left. And he went, have you moved today? And I just went, no. And I was like, you do get caught up in them. You can spend, and you lose a sense of time as well, which is really bad sometimes.
Yeah. And I mean, I've had one the last few weeks, a game called The Division that came out recently, and I can't stop playing it. Every night I play it, and there's like daily missions you have to do in this game. So you have to do it once a day. Otherwise you don't get your rewards.
Yeah.
So, and WoW is very similar in that regard. It has daily things you have to tick off, like a checklist, you know, like a chore almost. And but I try and do it like when my partner's going to bed. I kind of tend to be a bit more alert at night time. He kind of goes, I'm really tired, I'm going to bed. Then I'll stay up an extra hour, do my dailies, and then I'll come to bed afterwards. So again, it doesn't really impact, but I do feel like a lot of time isn't put into this game. And yeah.
But you must have heard, I mean, you must have heard of examples where relationships have broken down because of it. I mean, I know I've seen a relationship break down because of WoW.
I was in one. I was a WoW widow.
Oh, there you go. You were a WoW widow.
When I was younger, he would get up. He used to work 9 till 5. He'd be up at 6, would play Warcraft from 6 till 8:30, go to work, come home at 5:30, play Warcraft from 5:30 till 9:30, and then go to bed. And then we'd do the same thing every single day. I literally didn't see him, like, in the same room, in the relationship, but it would not talk, would not see him, and it got too much, and I ended it. Like, legitimately, it happened.
Do you think at that point it becomes unhealthy, or you think whatever you're okay with is fine as long as you're okay with it?
I think it's unhealthy when you stop eating and you stop showering and things like that. You know, when you stop doing your basics to kind of be a human being.
They're the signs. Step away from the console.
Right? Uh-huh. They're the signs when it becomes unhealthy. I think apart from that, you're okay as long as you're both okay with it.
Yeah. Let's face it, anything can become addictive.
Totally,
I mean, we've heard stories of, you know, out of Korea and that, where people have literally died from not stopping playing.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yeah.
It happened, yeah.
Like, people have died from...
You've got to eat.
You've got to eat, and you've got to drink.
Goodness me.
You know, and you have to get up and go to the loo occasionally, and all that sort of stuff. But it has happened. People have died from this.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think that's a good point, though, Mark. Anything can be addictive. You know, if you have an addictive personality, there's nothing literally in video games that makes you addicted to them. You know what I mean? It's not technically a drug. So, you know... Like anything, a sport can be addictive. Someone can be obsessed with footy and it breaks up a relationship, or a girl can be obsessed with shopping, or a guy can be obsessed with shopping and it breaks up a relationship, you know, and stuff like that happens anyway. So I think it's just about moderation and communication. And I always check with Matt. I'm like, do you mind if I play tonight? Is that okay?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's fine. But like, if I say, hey, do you mind if we play tonight? And he says, oh, actually, I wanted to watch this show with you. I'll be like, cool, no worries. I'll reschedule the gaming. Like, it's not a big deal. So you have to kind of communicate.
Dean, how do you handle, like, obviously your partner's playing Elder Scrolls. Would you have a negotiation, or does he just go and play?
You know, to be honest, we haven't played it for a while, but it's a little bit like he will play it, I sit on the couch with my iPad. So we're in the same space, but
you're still together.
Still together. That's nice.
What about you, Robbie? Have you played many games?
Not a lot. No, I did get into God of War 3 about a year ago. We've got a PlayStation 3 at home, so I was really into Spyro, Spyro the Dragon, but that was on PlayStation 1. But yeah. I played that a few times while I still had that console. But no, I don't. I really enjoy television, and you have so much limited spare time at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Mandy has texted in.
Hello, Mandy.
She would like to know, are you considered a gamer if you only play solitaire and chess?
So I like to think of a gamer like I think of the term bear, where if you think you're a gamer and you play games, then you're a gamer. I'm not going to tell you that you're not a gamer or that you're a casual or a hardcore. I'm not going to put you in a box. So if you consider yourself to be a gamer, if you talk to someone and they say, do you play video games? Are you a gamer? And you say yes, because you play those games. Good on you. You're a gamer. I don't think you should be segmenting people. And that's where it gets tricky when you start doing that. You start putting people in boxes and say, oh, well, I'm just a casual, but you're more of a hardcore, so you're more weird than I am. Like, I'm just casual, so it's fine. You're, like, really too intense. That's when it becomes problematic. So, if you want to be a gamer, Mandy, you're a gamer.
She's a handle, though, doesn't she? She needs, like, a name that she can be online, yeah?
Gamer chick. Hot gamer chick 69 or something.
Mandy is my mother.
I was just going to say, look, you might not realise this, but that's Robbie's mum.
Oh, I knew.
Yeah.
Hi, Mandy.
That's right. Mandy's a friend of the Becky Bears as well.
Exactly.
Exactly. Now, we have to reiterate, this Saturday is...
Yes.
Is this Saturday the first checkpoint?
It is. So it's the first checkpoint, Saturday at 3 p.m. So we've rebranded, and we do have actually Liam Esler coming into the show, who we were talking earlier in the show about the Baldur's Gate expansion with the trans character. So he's the person that made that happen and actually put that in the game.
Oh, that's
so
huge.
Yeah, it's huge. So he'll be on the show on Saturday talking about the importance of LGBT representation in video games. Also, big review of Dark Souls 3, which is a massive title coming out next week.
Yeah, that is a massive... I've heard a lot of chatter on the internet about Dark Souls 3 coming out.
So I've been playing that for the last couple of weeks.
What is the premise of Dark Souls? Just for me.
It's an action RPG, so lots of combat, lots of sword fighting and stuff like that, except it's intentionally difficult. Like, you will die a lot, and that's part of it. You have to learn how you die and figure out how to prevent that happening again. And it's, you get thrown back like half an hour of gameplay if you make a mistake. So it's really intense. You would say that's for one of the hardcore gamers.
That's hardcore gamers.
It is crazy. Even I get frustrated playing it. It's really something else. It tests your patience and your resolve, that's for sure. So, but very popular game. And the third one is out next week. So yeah, very exciting.
Very good. Just quickly also, we do have to say goodbye, guys. So on Saturday, obviously, you've got Checkpoint at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
But stay on the radio on Saturday for 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Because I'll be back on the radio at 8 o'clock with Michael and the two Bretts, and we're doing Eurovision.
Oh, that's the show with, like, Greek men without their shirts on who sing funny songs.
That's right. Yes. Okay. So we're going through the first semi-final this week with, as I said, Michael and the two Bretts, and I'll be on that. Then, of course, 6:30 a.m. on Monday morning.
What's on?
What's on, guys?
Breaking Bad! Yay. Back again!
With, of course, myself and Luke, and, of course, Robbie doing Belly Believable. And So that, and but there's no more cheap seats.
No more cheap seats. So coming up next is School of Pop.
School. It's a whole whole brand new show
From Tuesday nights has now moved to Thursday nights.
Yeah. Moved to new night.
New night.
Everyone take you to school.
That's right. We're going to school you.
Going to learn you some pop.
Some pop.
So thank you very much, Luke, for coming in tonight.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, boys. Nice to be back.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.
Woof grrr.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.